Okay. Alrighty. Okay. So in the very first Siman, in Hilchos Nida, it's in Kuf Pei Gimel, the Mechaber mentions that in order to become a Nida, a woman has a discharge from that part of the body. And the Mechaber sort of modifies it and V'hi Shetargish Mitziyasa. She has to have a sensation, she has to feel, she has to have a hargosha, that in fact, that sensation that there was some sort of a discharge. We'll begin discussing today, we'll do that thing tomorrow, exactly what that is. So we can entitle this shiur, really, what is a hargosha exactly? Again, the Shulchan Aruch says that, the only way she becomes a nida, so it looks like what to discuss is if she has a hargosha, not only she discharges dam, but she has a sensation of something. We'll have to see what that something is. Okay? So where do we see anything about a hargosha? Who says she has to feel anything? So we go back again, as we always do, to the Pesukim of the Torah, the first of the sources, Vayikra, Paraktes Vav Pasikutes, Parshas Mitzora. We've had this pasuk before in a different context. It says, V'isha, Kisi Ezova, Dom Yezova Bivsora, Shivas Yam Tiabinida, Sir Honageba Hitmana Arab, right? The one of Psukim about the Nida, a woman has a flow from the body, Bivsora, Bivsora. So the Gemara says, let's learn for a few minutes together, Gemara Nida, Nun Zionabad Beis, Nun Zionabad Beis. The Gemara says, Omar Shmuel, okay, and this is really the Mokor, or the origin of the whole idea of Hargosha, this Sugya, Nun Zionabad Beis. The Gemara says, Bodka Karka Olam. A woman was sitting, sitting on the floor, or whatever, on the ground, and it was clean, when she sat down. And then when she got up, after she looked at the ground, she sat down, there was nothing there. When she got up, there was a blood spot, there was some dam there. So Shmuel says, Tahora. Shmuel says, it's not considered to be dam nida, we don't have to worry about it. And she remains Tahora. And apparently even Darbana, it's apparently not even, nothing. We can disregard it completely. I feel the Darbana. Why? Shenemar Bivsara. Shmuel has a drasa Bivsara, which means Ad Shatargish Bivsara. That's how the Darshan the Pasuk, that it says Domi Azova Bivsara, right? That it has to be something in her flesh, something in her body that she senses, that she notices. And since here she notices, she sat down, didn't notice anything, and she got back up, and suddenly there was a spot of blood on the floor where she was sitting before. Okay, so we don't have to assume that somehow she had a discharge of dam nida, because she didn't feel anything. Right? Bivsara, Asha Targish, Bivsara. That's the Gemara. That's the rule of Shmuel. In order for one to come in either, she needs to have a hargosha, the sensation in her body. Obviously, she didn't feel anything. So this is really the mocker for the concept of a hargosha. This ruling of Shmuel, the base of Xer Sakasa, Bivsara, Asha Targish, Bivsara. So the Gemara says, one second, we notice already. We've already used that pasuk to darshan something else. Ask the Gemara, hi, bivsara, miboyle, shemitama bivnim, kivachutz. Remember, we had that rule that unlike, let's say, other tumas hayotzim haguf, let's say like zov or balkari or something, where the tumah does not go into effect until whatever is discharged outside of the body. We know that anida already, once the dam has left the uterus and is in the so-called vaginal canal, right? Even though it didn't come out yet, it didn't come out of the body yet, but she's already told me that's bivsara inside, right? We had that already a few times. The high bivsara mabayla is shemitama bifnim kivachutz, right? When the dam is inside the vaginal canal, that's enough. So the Gemara says, no, in kain lema kra bibosar or babosar. My bivsara, shmamina, achetagish bivsara. The typical Gemara sort of drasha. If it would have just wanted to teach us, if all we needed to know that is that the dam does not have to come outside of the body, it's already tomato, it was still inside, so in the wall, so to speak, of the vaginal canal before it actually came out, it would have been sufficient to say, dam yezova babosar, in the flesh, right? Not bivsara, so that opens up to give an additional drasha, and an additional drasha, says Shmuel, is this drasha that achetagish bivsara. Gemara says, one second, Rakatir Baila, but we do learn already another thing from this drasha of Bibsara. We already used that pasuk or that phrase Bibsara, the extra hay, so to speak, for something else, namely Bibsara, velo b'shfir, velo b'chaticha. Shfir, that is, an unformed, an undeveloped embryo. Okay, sometimes a woman, you know, the egg is fertilized and it begins to develop, but then something happens and, you know, there's a miscarriage. We're talking about a miscarriage, a very early stage, you know, before anything really developed. I mean, it begins to kind of develop like a shell. In fact, some say the word shapir is related to the word shfulferis, like shfulferis of a beitza, you know, eggshell. It has that kind of a thing, and things develop outside and inside, whatever exactly happens. You can look up the biology and anatomy yourself and explain it. So some say the word shashir is like shofar, it's like an eggshell. And then when it's not functioning properly, the body discharges it. That's, again, it's a very early stage miscarriage. So then, and it comes out, that same part of the body, comes out through the you know, vaginal tract. And if dam comes out that way, but it's not really, the dam never really is coming out through her flesh. It's wrapped, so to speak, or encased, if you will, in this sphere, this embryo, this undeveloped, unformed embryo. So, or b'chaticha. Chaticha just means, again, like a mass of something, you know, that was inside, that got discharged, the blood is kind of in there. So that's the din. She does not become a tummy, because bib sara means that the blood, so to speak, has to flow directly through her flesh, through her body. And since the blood in this particular case was, the blood was sort of encased or enveloped in this unformed embryo or in this shapeless or formless mass. So therefore, it's not considered damida. So the Gemara's kasha is, so we learn that from the word bib sara. So we're still stuck now. How can Shmuel tell us a din? We have a drasha ad shetargish bib sara. First of all, it teaches us metame kibachutz b'mibachutz kibifnim. So that we answered. All you need to say is babosar. But since it says bib sara, so it means ad shetargish. So the Gemara says no, but that's already used for something else. So the Gemara says tarati shmamino. No, both things are learned from bib sara. Both that the dam has to come directly. It's already tummy when it's inside her, and that it can't be sort of enveloped or encased in this embryo. Both things are learned from the word bivsara. Tarati shmamina. Okay, we don't have to go into detail. And basically, the bivsara, the Rishonim there on Nunzan, I didn't print it, it's not really our issue now, but the Rishonim really explained, because it's basically the same thing. In other words, it's the very same thing that says that the blood has to come bivsara, that she senses it. So she's not sensing it if it's inside this shapir, this embryo, right? So that's why Tarati Shmamina. Tarati Shmamina, you have to usually figure out why are those two things related. You can't just stop saying Tarati Shmamina. You have to say related. So fundamentally, I think that Tosafot Rashi, whatever they show them there in Nidam and Zayin Beis, say, I didn't print them because it's not our issue. But it's the same drasha, right? Bib Sara means that she has to experience a sensation, and she's not experiencing a sensation. It comes out in this sphere or in this chaticha. Okay, good. All right, anyway, so what emerges? That's a din of Shmuel, that a woman is tahora, in this case where she was sitting on the ground until a dam because she didn't feel anything. And in order to become an eder, you have to have some form of a hargosha. Okay, so now the Gemara says, we'll go through the Gemara a little bit. Tell a third line, the way I printed it here in two. Nun zayin beis an eder. Atoshma, ma'isha shehi osa tzrochel. A woman who was taking care of her needs, that's lashon saginar, right? It means urinating in the bathroom. When I go to the bathroom. Okay, woman had to go to the bathroom, and she went to the bathroom, and right, saginar, just also tzorchel, taking you know, like taking care of her bodily needs. Okay, mirosh adam, and she saw dam in the toilet or in the basin in which she urinated. She saw dam. Now that could be that it was dam from the mokor, from the uterus, that got mixed in with urine, which is less likely. Or it could be there was some kind of an injury or a soreness in the urinary tract, urinary tract infections and so on and so forth. So the dam in the urine, you know, was nothing to do with nidus. Nothing to do with some kind of infection or some kind of a sensitivity in the urinary tract, and that's where the dam comes. So the Gemara says, "Aisha she osa tzrochem ras adam." So what's the din? So Meir Omer, it depends. Im omedes tameya. The mayor says if she, when she urinated, she was standing, which is not the usual position for a woman when she urinates, then we say tameya. But miyosheva is tahora. But if not, if she was sitting in a normal fashion, when a woman goes to the bathroom, so it's tahora. Let's look at Rashi. Okay, Rashi in source 3, neither nazana based. Osha tzrocheha is matelas mayim, right? That's urinating. She discharges water, right? The urinating. So omedes tameya. Why? What's the problem being omedes? The idea did dochek le'alma, because if a woman had urinated when she was standing, that means she was under tremendous pressure. to discharge the urine. You know, she didn't even have time to sit down in the normal fashion. Her bladder was full. Okay, something's pressing or whatever, the bladder was full. So therefore, she really had no opportunity to sit down and just let somebody else in here. Second. Okay. So so she was she was under such tremendous, you know, her bladder. Her bladder was under blood pressure, so she didn't have time to sit down like normal. Right? The idea did dochik le'ama the meumadistina v'lo yachol latzar hader meiraglaim lemakor ba'isidam. It is possible in that position that the urine sort of backed up, if you will. Her body was so full of urine, her bladder was pressure, so some of the urine may have come out and kind of backed up. The pipes backed up, you know, the backed up into her uterus and brought out with it dam nida. Okay, so therefore, in that such a case, says her mayor, in such a case, we have to be choshish that that's what happened. That she went into the course of urinating. Again, ordinarily, dam doesn't come out with urine. Okay, with meraglaim, dam doesn't come out with meraglaim. But in this case, it did. And she was standing, which is indicative of the fact that she had tremendous bladder pressure and so on. So we're afraid that things got backed up and brought out some of the dam from the mocker. However, Yosheves, Tahor Rashes, Yosheves, the woman sits down and went to the bathroom normally. She didn't have any extra pressure. She had no bladder problems and so on. So then she went to the bathroom normally. The Maka Yeshua welcome Meraglaim. She ain't Derek Damni the Lotes in Meraglaim. I said, it's not normal for Damni to come out in Meraglaim. If everything was normal, she sat down, she went to the bathroom normally, and there was Dam in there. So the assumption is that that's not Damni, that's not from the uterus. So it's some sort of infection. You know, there was some type of soreness or something, or cut, or whatever it may be, and it had nothing to do with Damni. Okay, so that's the chiluk that Rameir draws. If you're standing, which is indicative of some kind of tremendous pressure, unusual circumstance, once in unusual circumstances, so afraid maybe that some of the dam kind of, some of the urine backed into the mokar, to the uterus and brought out dam, then we have to be chosh. So says Rameir. Good. What's it got to do with us? So the Gemara says, so 1 second. Hold on. Okay. Hey chidami, on the fourth line there too. Hey chidami. Id argisho. What are we worried if she's standing or sitting? We don't know. This is dam nida, not dam nida. According to Shmuel, let's just examine one thing. Does she have a hargosha? Does she not have a hargosha? Shmuel says you don't become tame unless it's a hargosha. And he dashed them on pasuk, right? Like we just explained. So ida argosha, if she taka had a hargosha, she had some sort of sensation, you know, relating to nida, like she sent to the uterus opening or something. So yosheva samaitar, what's the difference? She's sitting. So what? She had a hargosha. Or she had a hargosha. We should be concerned with the possibility of dam nidus, even if she was sitting and everything was normal in terms of the urination, but she felt the hargosha, So she should be Torah. And Ela, Elav, the hargosha, Elamai, she didn't have a hargosha. She had no hargosha. 1 second, if she had no hargosha, Uksani Omedes Temea. But if she had no hargosha, and that's the case, she had no hargosha, so Rameir said, but if she's standing, she's Temea. Why? Why should she be Tamei? Even if she's standing and she had unusual bladder problems or whatever it may be, but if she had no hargosha, so then according to Shmuel, it shouldn't be a problem. That's the worst kasha, right? That's the kasha. So answer. So that's the worst question. Well, shouldn't matter. It shouldn't depend on whether it shouldn't matter whether she was sitting or standing. It shouldn't matter whether she had a hargosha or not. Okay. So in other words, if she had a hargosha when she was sitting, then she should be Tamei. She should only be Tamei. Standing, if she didn't have her gosha, she should be Tahara. So Elamas, what is Gemara answer? No. Gemara says no. The Olam de Argosha. She did have a Hargosha. She did have a Hargosha. She absolutely did have a Hargosha. However, the Amor Hargoshas Meragalayim Ho. The Gemara says she had a Hargosha, okay, but the Hargosha was, you know, again, things going on inside your body, don't exactly know. She had a Hargosha. But the hargosha was not because of nida, but because of the, it was the urine. It was the, you know, it was the that was what caused her to have whatever sensation she felt inside was a result of the meiraglaim and not a result. The hargosha was a function not of being a nida, okay. And therefore, it's inconclusive. This hargosha was inconclusive. Was this a hargosha of nida, or maybe it was only hargosha because of the meiraglaim? Whatever she felt inside. She saw some kind of flow or something moving, whatever exactly. We'll come back to that later today. But, you know, whatever she felt inside was on account of the meraglaim, perhaps, and not on account of being nida. So now we don't know, right? The hargosha itself is a hargosha, la olam de ergosha. So there is argosh, but it's inconclusive because maybe it was because of the urine. So now, so omedes, so that's exactly what the mayor says. Omedes, if she was standing as a result of this bladder pressure and she couldn't even make it to the bathroom to sit down, so hadar meraglan lemokor, I see that. Then we have to be concerned, like I said before, that the urine backed up and pulled out the meraglan, kind of backed up into her mokor, into the uterus, and brought out down. Yosheva is tahora, but if she sat, everything was normal. So she may have had a hargosha, but the hargosha was from the meraglan, and therefore we're not going to render an either. Okay, so that's how we get out of that problem. All right, that's problem one. All right, that's case number one. She had a hargosh, but she's tahor, because it could be a hargosh was not a nida, but a meraglayim. And therefore, if she's standing, she's toyatakim, but if she's sitting, then she's tahor. Good. So the Gemara tries again. Case two. Actually, the fourth one that I didn't produce, case two. Toshma. Aid. Sharnosun tachas hakar. An aid means what we call a bedika cloth. Okay, a cloth. It's called an aid. Okay. Let's digress for a moment. There's the term aid. Rashi defines aid in source 3. Right? Aid sadin shebodekes bo. Some kind of a piece of cloth that she does a bedika with. Right? That's what an aid is. Usually they sell them, in, I think in Eretz Yisrael, they call it, it says on the package aid. I don't know today. It says aid on the package. When we got married, they just said they called bedika, you know. But sometimes it says aid. In Eretz Yisrael always says aid. So aid means a bedika, a cloth. A cloth which she accepts. I just digress. I skip down for a second. It's a side point. But if you look in source number 10, I'm going out of order just for a second. Okay, jump down to source number 10. It's a Mishnah in Nida, Parakes Mishnah Dalin, which is what the Gemara is quoting here. Aid shu nosan tachas hakar. Okay, she had an aid, a cloth, which she put by her pillow. Okay, why would she have done that? Okay. So it was after she had bia. That's how the Bartanura, source 11, explains in the mission neither parakas mishadal. This mission, which the Gemara here is quoting, age unosun tachas akar habeged shemikaneches bos atzma b'shas tashmish kori aid. Okay, when she cleaned herself off after she had tash with her husband, she cleaned herself off. But she was in bed and so she kind of wiped herself off, cleaned herself off after tashmish. Was too tired to get out of bed, so she put it by her pillow. She figured she'll check it in the morning. Okay, she'll look at it in the morning. That's the case. But just in terms of the word aid, so the Tosis, this is why I'm digressing for a moment. The Tosis Yontif, in there need the Parakas Mishadal, aid, Kosa Rab Bartanura, right? First, the Tosis Yontif quotes the Rab. Habegit Shemekanechas Kori aid. Why is it called an aid? Klomar, again, this is source 12. Klomar, Shumayid, Shimhinida Olo. Aid comes from aid, witness, aidus. Okay, this cloth is going to tell her, well, it's going to testify, so to speak. This cloth is going to testify to whether she's a nida or not. And that's why it's called an aid. Okay? V'chein Mesaima Orach. The Orach was a work from one of the Rishonim, Rav Nosson Bala Orach, who wrote, in effect, a dictionary explaining all the terms and all the words in the Gemara and then where they're from and so on. So it's Orach's available. A couple of years ago, they put out the Orach, an edition of the Orach in the order of the Gemara. You know, the Orach is the alphabetical order, but a couple of years ago, they put it in Orach al Seder Shas in the Seder Rishalmi. It's handy. Anyway, so the Aruch is an important Rishon of Nosan Bala Aruch. So he also came to have Aruch who hoysa nida b'shas tashmet nira b'adam b'sayim od b'afabish n'rayla d'avar z'ichla d'avar, but he has a different thing. He refers as well, a different word, aid, has nothing, the word aid in the Deacon Club has nothing to do with testimony, nothing to do with aidas, but rather with a pasuk in Yeshaya that I printed for you here in Parak Samak Dalet of Yeshaya, pasuk A. Vanehi chatome kulano uchebeged idim kol tzidkosenu. Okay, idim. Okay, it's some kind of a cloth. Nothing to do with edus. It's the word beged idim. Okay, uposuk yishai simathal pisha rashi there, the Tosfos Yontif. On our mission in Nida, Parakas Mishnah Dalet refers to rashi and yishai. I printed it here for you in 14. Beged idim kilavush mercha kebeged ma'os. Disgusting. Just, you know, I would translate it, if I had to translate it, well, it's not English, but a shmata. Okay, a shmata, you know, a piece of cloth, a torn, or, you know, a shmata, okay, that you use, you know, for things that, you know, you ordinarily wouldn't, give to anybody else and so on. So just clean yourself with it. That doesn't mean the shmata, either. Kebeg and Mos, okay? And that people would ordinarily stay away from, because that's what you use it for. Like, you know, use a handkerchief, okay? And people don't share their handkerchiefs with somebody else. Right, I mean, it's a private thing, so it's not other people stay away from it. I know that one of my daughters, a nursery school teacher, she was telling the kids, she has children, she has her own children, she has children in nursery schools, they have to wear masks, you know. So she was explaining to the kids that little kids that trade masks, you know, because they have cutesy masks and so on and so forth. So you have to explain to the kids that doesn't do any good if you're going to trade masks. So she said, you have to treat masks like underwear. Okay? It's private, and you don't let other people use it. That's how she was explaining it to the four-year-olds, you know, because, again, because people have fancy masks like you have with stars on it or whatever it is, you know. So a little kid sees it, oh, I'll trade you my mask for your mask. Okay, that's not going to do much in terms of, you know, preventing what we're trying to prevent. So, but in any event, so that's what Rashi said aid is. It's some sort of a garment or a cloth that, you know, I want people, other people stay away from it. Okay, and the Radak also, the Radak there in Yeshaya, Perek Samadal, plus, okay, 15, it says, some say it's a Vedu, some say it's Ma'adjob, Klomar, Kishatela, Begademu, Chlochem, Adam. Okay, whatever it is, you get the idea. It's something which is Shema. So, two different definitions of aid. Either it's Russian aid as a witness, or it's nothing to do with that. It's some kind of a cloth. Anyway, getting back to, let's go back now to the Gemara. And I said this is a brief digression, but let's go back to the Gemara in Nidan and Zanar Beis. So, the Gemara says the second case. It's five lines to the top of source two, end of the line, Toshma. Aid, this Mishnah, aid should know some tachas akar. Okay, a woman put under the pillow. She was going to examine it in the morning. Okay, and lo and behold, in the morning she finds dam on it. The question is this dam from last night when she cleaned herself out, or did this dam appear from something else? Okay, did it appear overnight, nothing to do with her or dam neither? Okay, just to understand right now, part of the kula, when a woman finds a kesem, and we're going to talk about this obviously at greater length, but we mentioned yesterday a kesem. A kesem is not dam. A kesem is some sort of a stain, a blood stain. But we have kulas that apply to ksamim if they're not too big and so on, the red colors. We can assume that it came from the Gemara told came from a chol, it came from a bug. Okay, you smack a mosquito, whatever, so it splurts blood very little, not too big to begin with, mosquito. So sometimes you find dam, you find something on that's very small, or it's on a colored garment, we have the right to be tola, we have the right to say that it came from something else. So that's the issue here. We're going to talk about it at a much greater length when we talk about ksamim. But in any event, this is what the Gemara is talking about here. And so, Toshma, Eicha, Nosem, Tachas, Akar, Vinimsa, all of dam. So now it's going to depend on the shape, the Gemara says. Im ogul, if it's very round, okay, it's a round stain, okay, then tar. Because that is not dam from Bedika. Because when you do a Bedika, like when you're wiping yourself, it's not going to come out exactly round. Okay, the motion, the wiping motion, it's going to be oblong, you know, it's going to be kind of up and down. So if this dam on this this bedika cloth that she found in the morning, she had in the morning next to her pillow, if the dam is round, so then she's tahar. Okay, then she's tahar. Rashi says, second last Rashi, ogul ain't zed dam bedika, the derech kinuach lios mashoch. When you're wiping yourself, so it doesn't come out perfectly round, it's an up and down, or more like oblong or oval. Okay, the Gemara says imashuk, but if the dam she finds on this cloth is taka, oh, well, then it's tummy. Okay, that's the Mishnah. I mean, I printed it there. That's the Mishnah. Divrei Rav Elazar ben Tzadok, the Mishnah I printed in 10, Parakhes Mishnah Dalet, which the Gemara here quotes. So the Gemara says again, wait a second, what are we analyzing? It's round, it's oblong. What's the difference? It should all depend on what was the hargosha not? According to Shmuel, if it's a hargosha, so home free, what are you worried about the shape of the dam for? Right, that's what Gemara says. Okay, hekadami, idar gisha ogul amaytar. If she had a hargosha, what do I care if it's round? I mean, it's unusual it'll be round, but I suppose it could happen. So if she had a hargosha, so then that's dam tummy, right? If she had a hargosha. Elav, the lower gisha. I said, Tommy, she didn't have argosha. So, ksoni, mashuk, tummy. But it says that if it's an oblong or oval type of shape, she's tummy. Apparently, you don't need a argosha. Right? Each, in other words, we're asking again the same question before. Apparently, Shmuel says you need argosha. This implies you don't need argosha, just like before. Right? Before it said, you know, if she found dam, you know, with the urine, so he said that if she was sitting, she's tahara. Apparently, because you don't have hargosha. So apparently, you don't need a hargosha. So what's Shmuel talking about? You need a hargosha, right? It's the same cash. It's from a different case, right? So apparently, you don't need a hargosha, right? So the Gemara answers again, lo. La'olam da'argisha. Okay? She did have a hargosha. She did. Okay? She did have a hargosha. Once again, it's inconclusive. The Amor hargosha's eid havu. when she was wiping herself, when she was kind of a, you know, as she had the cloth around her finger, putting it inside, that's what the sensation she felt. Like Rashi says, last Rashi in 3, Dargisha, Bishas Pedika. Okay? Bishas Pedika. At the time when she was examining herself, that's the sensation she felt. Okay, but Ogil, Haki Tar, if it's round, that's why it's Tar. Our gosh is 8, Havim, but she said, Tziarta Pedika is 8. Okay? She, you know, she was caused by the cloth, and she irritated something or whatever it is. But again, the Gemara is saying that there's no kasha. Shmuel's right. You need a hargosha. So how come she's tuming if she didn't have a hargosha? Okay, and now she did have a hargosha. She didn't have a hargosha. So how come the ugl is tahar? The answer is she because it was the hargosha she sensed was taka the movement, so to speak, of the, you know, of this bedika process. So that's what caused the hargosha. Okay, so that's case 2. Case 3, attempt number 3 on the Gemara, Toshma. Nimsa al Shalosh. So here, there's also a Mishnah discussion we'll have later on. After Tashmish, so the Gemara earlier discussed that the Benos Yisrael, the from Jews and so on, so when they had Tashmish, they would have 2 cloths. Okay, one for her, one for him, that they should each check themselves out to check themselves out after having had Bia. She would check herself out, he would also check out the Aver. Okay, just to make sure there's no dam. Again, this was something at the time, perhaps when they were makbara tum and tar also, so it's relevant. Okay, so Toshma, nimsa al shalo. Okay, if after having Tashmish, on the cloth that he checked himself with, he found dam. Now, there's no doubt that he didn't discharge any dam. Okay, so obviously the dam came from inside her, and it came on his aver during the time of Bia. Right, obviously came from her. So it says Nimsal Shalo Tameim. Okay, both he and she are Tameim. Like, again, one of the functions of a Nida, she's Tame. And the Bol Nida, we learned at the beginning of the year, you know, you'll find out the Bol Nida is also Tame. Right? That was one of the functions, one of the dinim of Tumas Nida we spoke about at the very beginning of the year. So she becomes Tame and he becomes Tame. And here, obviously, she was a Nida when they were having relations. Okay, and therefore they're both Tameim. And they're Vadai Tameim. So therefore any Tumah or anything else I gotta get rid of, gotta burn. All right, and also v'chayov and b'karban, and they have to bring a carbon. What's a carbon? Because we're not talking about that. He knew she was a nida before. Turns out she was a nida. They didn't realize it. So you know, when they were having tashmish, retroactively now we know he had tashmish when she was a nida. So it's not a chiv karis because they didn't know before, but now they know. So therefore they have to bring a carbon chatas, right? Chayov b'karban. So that's if they found it on his cloth that he wiped himself with right away. Okay, or no matter what, if it's on his cloth, so then it turns out that she was a Nida, and therefore they're both Tomei, he, the Nida and the Bol Nida are both Tomei, and again, I have to make a carbon because it was a Bishogi, you know, that he had the be with the Nida, which Bishogi. Nimsa al Shalom, what if the blood, they didn't find anything on his cloth, but they found it on hers? So now it says depends. Osyom, that means immediately, meaning she checked immediately. The Gemara early discussed what's immediately, but immediately, you know, right after Tashmish. Okay, Osyom. So then Taka, Tamei, and Mechayev and Karban, same thing. Okay, if you found Dom on her cloth immediately after Tashmish, she checked herself, and immediately they found Dom. So obviously, again, that's right, we know she was a Nida. Okay, so again, they're both Tamei, Nida and Bol, Nida both Tamei, and they got to bring Karban because it turns out that they had Bia unintentionally when she was a Nida. Okay, but La'achar Zman, that's Otyom. Otyom means, again, immediately. But nimsa shalola achar zman. But if she didn't check, she either did the bedika later or looked at the cloth later. Okay, and now it's later on. It's not immediately. Again, the Gemara discusses exactly how. But sometime later, they found dam on her cloth. Okay, so now tamei misafik. Now it's only a suffik because it could be that this dam that's on the cloth, since she didn't check it right away, maybe came from somewhere else afterwards. So we have no conclusive proof that she was a nida. So tamei misafik, and that's a suffik again in terms of tumantara. You don't have to burn it, but you can't use it, whatever. All right? And and p'turim and carbon, can't bring a carbon because not sure. Anyway, that's the case. So again, the Gemara asks the same kasha. Hey chedomi, idar gisha, did she have a hargosha or not? Okay, if she had a hargosha, achazman amay p'turim and carbon. She had a hargosha. So then she's a nida. What's the difference? Well, you didn't find a dam on her cloth till much later. Why is it suffering? If she had a hargosha, it turns out she was a nida. And again, it was unintentional. Obviously, they didn't know before. They were talking about the observant people. They didn't know before. And she was expecting to become an Eidah. Then she became an Eidah during the time of Tashmish. So, okay, so it's the Mechayev Karban. What's the difference when she found the dam on her cloth? Who cares? If she had a Hargosha, everything depends on that. On the other hand, so therefore, my Ptum and her Karban, if they found it later, Elalav, the Lower Gish, apparently she had no Hargosha. And yet, and yet we say, even without the Hargosha, if she finds on her, or she, he finds on his thing right away, after Tashmish, she's Tomei, she's assumed to be an Eidah, to the point that I have to bring a Karban. Why? There was no Hargosha. I thought Shmuel said you need a Hargosha. It's the same Kasha, all the same Kasha. Or I answered again, lo, olam dargisha, the Ema Hargosha's Shamash. She had a Hargosha, okay, but the Hargosha was, Shamash means his Aver, when he was inside her. So that's what she felt. The sensation inside was because of the Tashmish. That's what it's about. It wasn't the Nida, okay, it was some sort of Hargosha. But all right, so that's the Gemara. Actually, there's another case, but that's all we need for right now. So, so again, we have three cases, right? We have three cases. We have a case where a woman's going to the bathroom and saw Dam. Okay, we have a case where she said there was a cloth that she checked herself and so on. And it depends on the shape. And the third thing is after Tashmish. In all these cases, the Gemara seems to suggest that apparently she can come down without a Hargosha. And the Gemara's conclusion was, no, there was a Hargosha, but the Hargosha was, so to speak, inconclusive because it may have been caused by something else. Either it was caused by, the sensation of having to urinate in the first case, or in the second case, the actual bedika, when she was with the cloth, when she was doing the bedika motion with the cloth, that sort of sensation, or there was a sensation caused by Tashmish with her husband when he was inside her. Okay? That's the, that is this Gemara. Okay. So there really, if you think about it for a moment, there are two ways, okay, again, three cases, right? Notla Meriglion, Dame after Bedika, and Dame after Tashmish. There are two possible maskanos, right? There are two possible ways to learn what comes out of all this Gemara, okay? What comes out of this? So one way to understand it is that she had she did have a Hargosha, but the Hargosha was something else that would not make her tummy, okay? So she's Tahora because even though she had a Hargosha, right, that's the assumption, even though she had a Hargosha, was a Hargosha of something else. In other words, either, there's two ways to learn it. Either there was some other sensation in play, okay? And, in other words, the really, say it like this, one side is that she had it. It could be that she had a Hargosha of Nida, but well, that's the second one. The first side is that she had a Hargosha, but it was Hargosha of something that would not make her Nida. Okay? Would not make her Nida. The second way to learn it is that she had a Hargosha of Nida, but it was masked, so she didn't really feel it. In other words, and that's going to play an important role in discussing what does she actually have to feel? Okay, and according to the second approach, she had a Hargosha. She had a Hargosha of Nida, but the Hargosha was masked either by the Meraglayim in the first case, by the movement of the aid in the second case, or by the husband's Aver in the third case. But it was a masked Hargosha, so to speak. All right, so therefore she would be Tameya. Okay, the question is, what role the Hargosha plays? Is the Hargosha... In other words, that's really the ultimate question. In other words, there's two ways to read the Maskana of the Gemara. Either you could say there's no real need for Hargosha, all right, in order for him to come and need that, okay? And here there was something else that was in play, and she'd become a need anyway, even without the Hargosha. In other words, it's possible to conclude when the Gemara says in each one of these three cases, the language is La'olam Dargisha, okay? La'olam Dargisha, the Gemara said all three cases. She had a Hargosha, but it wasn't the Hargosha of Nida, okay? Wasn't Hargosha of Nida. Apparently, though, she could still become Tomei in all those cases if certain other criteria are met. So in the case of Meraglayim, if she was standing. Or in the case of the eight, if it was round, okay? I'm sorry, if it was not round, if it was oblong. The third case is if she checked right away and found out. Apparently, you could read the Gemara is that a Hargosha is not necessary. The hargosha is not necessary. When the Gemara says la'olam, the argish, the hargosha was something else. She felt some sort of sensation, but it was something else that wouldn't make her a nida, and yet she could still be a nida if other conditions point in that direction. Okay, that could be the conclusion of the Gemara. Or the Gemara's conclusion could be, all right, there is a need for hargosha, and in all these cases, the taka was hargosha. She just didn't sense it in the normal fashion, because in each of these three cases, the hargosha was masked. You understand what I'm saying? There are two different ways kind of to learn what the maskana would be. Okay, it could be that she had a hargosha of something that would not make her a tame. All right, so therefore she's taka tahora. All right, she would be tahora. And the other way is that no, she did have hargosha, but it was masked. So that's the issue. Okay, there's only two ways. We'll have to see how that plays out. Okay, now.
Isn't the second way a bit more
kosher? Why? It fits in the Gemara a little better. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And the kasha was, she seems to become tamei without a hargosha.
Right.
Hargosha seems to be irrelevant. These other things.
Right. So now we're talking about what is hargosha.
She had hargosha, otherwise she would become tamei.
Right. But that's the second way.
Right, that's
that's the second way. No, but you could say that the other there's hargosha, but hargosha is something else. A hargosha of something else. That's the hargosha we're talking about in those cases.
So why does she become tamei in those cases?
Because it's something else indicative, either the because she was standing and the urine backed up and the other you need the other factor. The other factor in play.
So why is the fact that she had hargosha relevant?
Right. So according to that, it's not really relevant in the end, according to the first approach.
So why do you have to say that when the hargosha?
You mean, even if you didn't say that, it boils down to you don't need that.
And we're feeling tired. The feeling that she had was something.
Something else, yeah. I was just telling us, yeah, you're right. I mean, according to the conclusion, you wouldn't really need that. One second. But I think you're right. According to the first approach, we're saying there's no real need for hargosha. Okay? There was a different sensation in play here, but you don't really need, why do you need that altogether? I hear. Okay? But that those are the two tzedakim, as we'll see, in the Gemara. But you can really put it down this way. Maybe this will help explain. We can understand it. What role ultimately does the hargosha play? Okay? What role ultimately does the hargosha play? Okay? Is it that the hargosha simply tells us that the dam is min ha-mokar? Is that what it is? The hargosha tells us that this dam is min ha-mokar. All right? But if we are able to tell from some other way, that's maybe I'll say it this way. If we're able to tell from some other way that the dam is min ha-mokar, then we don't need a hargosha. I mean, you're right. In terms of the language of the Gemara, I hear your point, maybe, but you hear what I'm saying? According to one approach is, what is the purpose of hargosha? Hargosha identifies, that tells us that this dam is min ha-mokar. But if we're able to ascertain some other way that the dam, like in all those cases, it's the shape, whatever it is, okay? If we're able to ascertain some other way, so then the hargosha, is not needed. Exactly. It's exactly what I was going to say. The old simon versus siba, okay? It's exactly that chakir. That's how some of the point right here. Okay, it's exactly the Simon Siva issue. You could say it's a Simon. Okay, the first way is to say that Hargosha is a Simon. It's a Simon that this dam comes to me in a mokra. And if I have some other Simon, some other telling, I don't need that side of Hargosha. Or you could say, no. Okay, there's a two-step requirement in order to become an Ida. It has to be dam in a mokra, plus you have to have Hargosha. Okay, Hargosha is a Siva. Okay, in other words, it's a double requirement, a two-stage requirement. Right. So in this Gemara, there was a Hargosha, but the Hargosha itself was inconclusive. So if you hold it to Simon, okay, if you hold it to Simon, then she didn't have it because not a valid Simon, right? She didn't have this. The Simon has to be a clear indication. So in this Gemara, we're saying that there may have been a Hargosha, but if you hold that the Hargosha is a Simon, well, this is not a valid Simon because we attribute it to something else. It was because of the urination, or was it because of the bedikah, or was it because of her husband? Okay, so therefore, but if it's a Siba, Okay. Well, she also didn't have it. Okay, because right, and that's why she's not going to sell Bitomi. Okay. So.
Simon fits with the first approach that we said, no?
Right, and Siva fits with the second approach. The Siva is that you need to have two things. You need to have Dam Min HaMokar, and you have to have Hargosha. But here, the Hargosha was masked. So the assumption, maybe she did have Hargosha, but the Hargosha was masked. Okay, the Hargosha was, okay, that's the two ways to look at it, the Siva and Siva issue. All right, now, the question is, what is...
That means that she's nearly suffering. In the first approach, that we're saying, we know that this dam is in the Mokra for other reasons, even if she didn't have a hard
right, job, right.
Per se.
Right.
So, Hargosha is something else. But the second approach is saying that, in the first approach, the Moskana said she's Tmei on this Badai. Perhaps according to the second approach, she's Tmei on the Safi.
Yeah.
What happened.
Right. But right. So theoretically, you could say that there was, the assumption can be, yes, there was a Hargosha, but she just didn't know it. Right, she didn't know there was Hargosha. She felt something. She doesn't know what. Right. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk about let's say there's Dom without Hargosha. We'll get to it. Okay. I'm just trying to say. Okay. Now, but before we get to that, okay, it's correct. Okay, well, you're right. But let's see. But before we get to that, let's look first at what is exactly Hargosha. Hargosha of what? What is the sensation? What does she feel? Okay, so that's really what I'm talking about first. Okay, what exactly is a Hargosha? So for this, we turn to a Gemara in Nida on Daf Gimel Beis. I already told you I'd like to go back to Gemara as much as we can. It turns out that there are three possible definitions of what a Hargosha is. Okay, so here we'll start with the Gemara Nida Gimel Beis. The Gemara discusses, and this is about Tumen Tara, Itmar, Kupa. You had a box, a crate, that was used to hold stuff that was tar. Taras. In the days when they kept the tumen tar, right? So kupa is a box, right? Shnishtamsha, a crate of some sort. Shnishtamshu ba taharas bezoviz zu. In one corner of the box, they had stored taras. And then, I guess after they emptied it, whatever, nimtza sheretz bezoviz acheres. They emptied out the box, and lo and behold, the other corner of the box, the other side of the box, was one of the shrotzim. That's metame. Okay? That's one of the shrotzim. So it's a machokas, Chizkia and Rabbi Yochanan. All right? Chizkia Amar, Taharos Harishonos Taharos. All right? Let's look in Rashi 5. Again, it's Nida Gimel, page 5. Nimtzaba Sheretz Bezovitz Aferis La'achar Shenitlu Taharos Benakupo. After they took all this stuff out, after they took it out of the box. Okay? So Chizkia says, Taharos Harishonos Taharos. Okay, those taras that were in there, according to Chizkiah, whatever taras were in that box originally are remain tahoros. Can remain tahoros. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, taras are shown as tomatoes. Okay, the tummy. So, let me just find what I want. Okay. So, the tamachok is Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara asks, 1 second. But Ha Shammai v'Hillel modu b'kupa taras rishonos tumeos. Earlier case, okay. The Gemara asks Shammai and Hillel are both moda that the stuff for tummy. So how like Rabbi Yochanan? So how could Chizkiah disagree? That's the Gemara's kasha. Okay, Shammai and Hillel agree that taras are taka tummy, like Rabbi Yochanan said. So the Gemara gives a whole bunch of different answers to this question. Eventually, let's first look at Rashi. 5. Shataras Rishonos Tumeis Mafir. But Dafka Bezovis Acheres. Rashi tells us that the cases where we're talking about a huge crate. So really the sheretz was found in the corner, not where the taras were. All right. Rashi says, but Dafka Bezovis Acheres can kupa arucha. Okay. I'm assigned with Gimel Amos. A long crate. Ekel Memer, Kodem Shnitlu Ataras, Havahasim. But Nitma Kli Machmas Acheres, Ataras Machmas Akli. The Eo Hudalonis Asek Bosozovis or Ashkeche. He didn't notice it. What's the issue? After you emptied out the box, you found the sheretz in there. When did the sheretz enter the box? Did it enter the box while the tar stuff was still in there? Did it fall into the box while it's or did it fall afterwards? Again, you didn't find it until afterwards. So it could be after you emptied everything out, so some sheretz got into it. Okay, and therefore it's not going to impact the Taurus, because the Taurus already taken out of the box by the time he discovered the Sheretz. And the Sheretz may not have been there before. That's what Rashi explains, and that's why the Gemara has explained especially that it's a different Zoviz. Because if you would have found the Sheretz in there, if the Sheretz would have been in there at the time the Taurus were in there, so the guy who was unloading the Taurus would have seen the Sheretz then. He wouldn't have first discovered it afterwards. If it was on the other side of the big crate, he wasn't looking over there, he was working over here. I didn't notice it. You hear what I'm saying? That's the case. Okay, the case where the box was big, the person didn't notice the Sheretz. So the Sheretz makes the box tummy, the Taurus become tummy because of the box, and so on. But that's only if it's on the other side. Otherwise, you would have found it, right? That's what Rashi says. The end of five, because Chazile Kishotina would see when he took it out. So it must have been the other side. Okay. Anyway, but the problem is that Chizkiah said the Taurus remained tar, and that seems to be against Shaman Hillel. So the more answers, it says in six, not of an olive. The boy is saying, they weren't thinking, there's more starting Gimel Beis, a bunch of kashas, but one of the, a bunch of tirutz of this kasha. The boy is saying, Kimodi, Shama Behillel, the kupo shena mechusa. Okay, no, Shama and Hillel are talking about a kupo that wasn't covered. Okay, so then Taka, the sheretz, could have fallen in afterwards. It was an uncovered box. Kipligi, chizka biyachana, the kupo mechusa. The box is covered. So, and the follow says, no, steer it to Shaman Hillel. Shaman Hillel were talking about when the box was uncovered, so it's very possible that the Sheretz fell in afterwards. But the Machok is here, yeah? No, Sheretz not Metamil. Right. So it's only other is only Metamil. Only other Mesa Metamil. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, so one second. So, Mechusa Hechenofel. Okay, well, if the box was covered, how did it get in? All right? So, go on, Shetashmisha Ayedei Kisui. It's not that it was covered all the time, but it's used. It's covered and uncovered. When you use it, open and close it, open and close it. So one moment when it was open is when it fell in, right? It's not that it's covered the whole time. It's tashmisha like the kisui, all right? So let's look in the Rashi, okay? We're on the second Rashi. Mechusa, bitmiya, hekinofa, hai sheretz, hekishtaka, bohashta, how to get in now? So the answer is because it's open and closed. And now they come up, what's all this got to do with us? Nothing till now, okay? So, you know, it basically open and close the box to put stuff in. So now the Gemara says, Rashi explains really, Shetashmisha, I think, one second. Oh, the next page, yeah. So, take a look at the Rashi, the next page, Shetashmisha, the accuser. What's the issue? Again, Shaman and Hillel agree in a case where the box is not covered. Okay, but Chizkiah and Yochanan, the box is covered. It's eyes, and that's why Chizkiah is Metayer. So you want to ask, well, if it's covered, then how did the Sheretz get in the first place? Okay, so the case is where it's open and closed to put things in, take things out, and so on and so forth. And Rashi explains, what's the machlokes? Rashi is not Shetashmisha, on top of the page, Shetashmisha, the accuser. When you want to take something out, put something in, you open it and close it again. So therefore, Hilcha Chizkiah Sovar calls Mancha Taurus Betocha. Every as long as there was stuff inside the box of Taurus, so when you open and close it, you were careful to make sure no Sheretz is going to get in, right? You know there's a Taurus, right? Nizarba Bekisa, you were careful to close it again. Once you took everything out, you didn't care where you weren't watching to see if any sheretz fell in. Therefore, Chizkiah said it's tar, because again, he would have seen it if the guy knows there's a box full of taras, and he opens and closes it to take stuff in and put stuff takes stuff out and put stuff in and so on. He's going to be careful to make sure no sheretz goes in. But once he takes everything out, who cares? Right, everything's out of it now, so I don't care if the sheretz fell in. So therefore, Chizkiah says it's tar. Okay. So the hisich daito mishmirasa v'lo nizalach zosim rafal. Reuchanet zavar chashin and shemek kishagil ishtamish but ba'od shataros pesochan rafal. And Reuchanet said, no, maybe one moment is open. You look the other way. Something happened, you know, when it was open. That's the machlokes. So Reuchanet says, when he's open, the sheretz could have come in. All right? But then the Gemara, what's all this got to do with us? So the Gemara says, back in source 4, so the Gemara asks, source 6, v'hadumya de'isha ksani, de'isha mechusahi. So the Gemara says, they link it to a woman. What do you mean? Okay. A woman, okay, is also covered up, so to speak. Okay. And we say that she become Tomei. Right? I'll explain what this means in a second. Okay. A woman can become Tomei, even though she's covered. So how can Chizkiah say that the fact that know, you're careful and so on and so forth. All right? And when it's covered, therefore it's mutter. What do you mean? Covered is not enough. A woman is quote-unquote covered. Okay? And we say that the dam can be, she can come tummy when she bleeds. So the answer is very difficult to understand, but for the moment, okay? It says, a woman, since it's normal for her to bleed, she's like if taka uncovered. Okay, like if she taka uncovered. You know, that's the norm. Okay? Look at the Rashi. Look at the Rashi. Mechusahi. Mechusahi, the lo nafa b'dam me'alma. Okay? The blood doesn't just drop out of nowhere onto a person. Okay, the kupa, the chavas, and the chusa skin. I feel a hachi tameya. The kasha, the chizkia. Right? Okay, that was the Gemara's kasha. So, what does all this have to do with us? So, Tosa says, and need the dalam al. All this was to get to Tosa in source 8. The ha'isha mechusa, he pirish Rashi. The lo nafa bo dam me'alma. The kasha. The kasha can she tameya. The ain't lisos b'dam acher. Ela ba migufa lechach yeshomar mechusa he shehamakom sasum. What do we mean a woman is considered, so to speak, mechusa? That part of the body, okay, that part of the body, the uterus, is closed. And when dam comes out, okay, it, so to speak, opens somewhat to discharge the dam, and she would feel that sensation. Okay, that's what I wanted to bring out from all of this, Gemara. Tosis is, in fact, defining hargosha right here in its incidental manner, okay? The place where the dam comes out of the woman is closed, okay? When it opens up, there should be a hargosha when the blood comes out. So for our purposes, what Tosis is teaching us is, what is the hargosha? When we talk about hargosha for Nida, it's a sensation, it's a feeling that the uterus is open. We call that psichas pi hamokor, okay? Psichas pi hamokor. Right? When she feels some sort of sensation that the uterus is opening to discharge blood. That, says Tosas, is hargosha. All right? We had to get to it in a roundabout way, but again, it's incidental. But Tosas, right in this spot, is telling us this din, that the definition of hargosha is a feeling of psichas pi hamokor. Good? So that is definition number one. What is hargosha? Psichas pi hamokor. That's also what the Trumas Hadeshin explains. In one of his chuvas, Simon Reish Mem Vav, 9. Simon Reish Mem Vav, Shelo. Isha shehergisha be'atzma shenifdach mekara lehotzi dam. A woman felt hargosha. And what is it? He defines it right here in the Shelo. Shenifdach mekara. She feels that the uterus is open and it's going to discharge dam. V'holcho borkes atzma miyara matosa ala ed lachluchis lovon. She found, she did a bedika right away because she felt that sensation of the mekara opening up. And she checked it, and she found something that was a whitish in color, though it wasn't completely white. It was a sort of dusty white, or whatever, if she tore or not. All right? Tshuva, Yerod, historically, Sasha went over. Mikol moko, menidon didan, ho, lo, monsel, hu, the loven, ala, eid, amrinan, da, he, tipas, loven, he, dargosh, the loven, viorok, namim, and amokor, kosi. No, it's not the right color, okay? And other things do come out of that part of the body that are not dam, nida, other types of discharges, other colors and other things, okay, come out. Yorok, we explained already, mean the yellowish color can come out also from the mokor. Kedemukok, mepshitas, become a dukhti perkolyan. Vechenkos, the Ramban, the Zeloshon, and really it's the Rambam. All right. Lo kol mashka chodotame el adam bilvad. Not every liquid, not every fluid. The body discharges other fluids. Okay, not every fluid that comes out of the uterus is considered dam. Only dam. Okay, the kevan the nuchal amitza hargosha midi talinan. Since we can say that the hargosha was of whatever that is, so I room to make. However, omnom yore anochi lahokel. Okay, I'm afraid to be makel completely. He has other reasons and so on. He says, you know, it depends on the color. Bottom line, but. What I'm interested in now is not so much the Trumas Hadeshin's psak in this case, but rather his definition, once again, is what is hargosha right at the very beginning. Shehergisha ba'atzma shenifdach makara lahotzi dam. That's the definition of hargosha. Okay, according to this Trumas Hadeshin, it's when a woman feels that her uterus opens up and blood comes out. Okay? With me? So we did the next, let's move over to 16. We did this right, divided them out to 8, and they're out of order. Okay, 16, Ramban's Hilchas Nida, Perek Dalet, Os Aleph. Ein Oishim is Tamin Atar, Ad Shetargish B'Shoa Shadam Yod Sebiv Sorum. There too, okay? She feels the you know, blood coming out of her body. She has that sense of Hargosha. All right, so says the Ramban also. Now, the only thing is, it has to be, the Ramban says, when the Yisrael should call up, Amotzi Kesem Dam Al Gufo, we go to Afi Shal Gish, Afi Shal Bar Kasma, Loma Tadam Rishat. It was Man Azeh, Mona Shivin Akim Chutzma Amotzia. Fine. But just, there's some discussion, many women have what's called menstrual cramps. Okay, their body has, so the menstrual cramps, that's usually before. So that's a question whether that's called the Hargosh or not, because they really happen before the actual discharge of Dam. But what I want to emphasize in Ramban is a little different. Look carefully at the words Ramban in 16. Ein oishim istamin atar ad shetargish b'sha'a shehadam yotze b'sara. It has to be at that moment, okay? At the moment, the Ramban is just adding, it can't just be that she feels the sensation, okay? And it really, as we saw in the Shemus HaDeshen, because other things, other fluids are discharged in the body, even from that part of the body. So the Ramban is stressing, is it's not just some sensation of the uterus opening up, okay? It's not just a sensation of the uterus opening up, but rather it's at the time when she's discharging dam. Yeah.
If everyone's defining her gasha as when the part of the uterus opens, how could the Gemara beforehand claim that maybe we're when she uses the cloth or the other cases, how can the Gemara claim that that is a feeling of her gasha?
Because, well, we can certainly say that's a different, either those are two pshatim, either it was a different hargosha, or that mask or prevented her from really sensing the hargosha of the uterus opening. Now, the truth be told, you know what I'm saying? That's what I meant by masked hargosha, nothing to do with our mask, masked hargosha, right? She didn't feel the uterus because there was something else going on. So that covered it up, so to speak. You follow?
The other pshat, not the mask, but...
Right, but according to the other pshat, what she felt. Oh, so the truth of the matter. That's your question. The truth of the matter is, you know, biologically or anatomically or something. That nothing opens actually. Okay, not actually the uterus doesn't open up. They're you know, it's a sensation sort of like opening. You know what I'm saying? I think anatomically, it's not that it's sealing more. It's sealed and open. It's not closed. Something opens, okay. It's there, okay. You get it's just that sensation. It's a sensation since Kadam is coming out. It's a sensation that something opened up. Okay, with the orifice, or the opening is there anyway. So you know, but that's what the Ramban is saying. She targish b'shoa shadam yotzim b'sar. She has a feeling when the dam comes out. Right, so the two things are going to go together. So even in the other case, she had a different hargosha, right? There was something inside, in the, you know, that part of the body, but it felt like it, but it wasn't. I mean, you know, trying to think of other things, you know, I don't get... sometimes when you have a medical examination, you know, a man or a woman, and in that part of the body, says the doctor inserts something, whatever, so you have a sensation like you have to go to the bathroom. It's not opening. So there are different types of feelings like that. But anyway, that's what comes out. So basically, the Ramban is just qualified. Can't just be that she feels it. And maybe that's why. Can't just be that she feels a sensation. Like the sensation has to be the time when the dam is being discharged from the body. It's got, it goes together. All right. In other words, bottom line is that you know, what I spoke about before about, you know, menstrual cramps and so on and so forth, well, that's not going to count because that's not called hargosha because, oh, she's feeling something, but there's no dam coming out at that point. That's beforehand, okay? So anyway, we'll just go a little bit vital. That's definition number one of what hargosha is. Psichas piyamakar. The Rambam, in source 17, Perek Hay of Hilchos Rabbi Aleph Yitzayin, defines hargosha as follows. Isha Shishtina Mayim, Yotza Dami Meraglaim. Okay? That was a case we had before, right? She urinated and there was dam with the Meraglaim. Kevan Shishtina Vihi Omedes, Bain Shishtina Vihi Hoshevet. I'm sorry, Bain Shishtina Vihi Omedes, Bain Shishtina Vihi Hoshevet. Harizu Tahoro. Okay, again, I'm not interested in that din right now. Okay? But look what he says now. Vafilu Hirgish Gufa Vinizdaza. Okay, Vinny's Dazo. Ain't a Hoshesh, Shagoshes, Meraglim, Hezush, Ain't Meraglim, and a Fed of Adams and Damaku, the Chachos Machuyam. Okay, blood that comes out with urine, the Rambam says is not Dam Nida, it's something from the kidneys or some other place, okay, where it comes out. Okay, now, the Rambam seems to be defining here what is the definition of Hargosha? Mizdaza, the body shakes or trembles. So that's really the second definition of what is Hargosha. There's nizdaza gufa, there's some trembling or shaking of the body. All right? And that's the Rambam in Perkei Halacha Yud Zayin. In Perkei Halacha Beis, 18, the Rambam writes, Kodem Sheyava Hadam Targish Be'atzma. And here he mentions other physical signs. Mifahekes, Misateshes, right? You know, her breathing is affected, her sneeze is different physical signs. Bechosheshes, Pikrisa, her stomach, you know, different types of all kinds of different things. Or her flesh gets warm, all these things. She'll have all these experiences, or at least some of them, at the time when she's expecting her period. As the Rambam is saying, all right, before the blood comes out, there are various things that happen to a woman physically. And everyone is different, and the sensations are different, but that's right, and they don't all have all these things, but some of them and so on. The physical sensations themselves, like I said before, the menstrual cramps and so on, those sensations themselves do not make her an either. There's just a sign that she's soon going to become an either. Okay, that's why when she gets them, she should, you know, not be with her husband anymore and so on. But according to the Rambam, the definition also seems to be, like I said in the previous Rambam, is nizdaza gufa. All right, now, so this is really something physical. The first pshat was it's physical, but inside that part of the body. Niftach piyamokar, psichas piyamokar, is inside. These other things that we're mentioning are outward manifestations, right? It's not just feeling something inside, you know, that part of the body, yeah.
Let's go back to the Tanabon for a second. Is he saying that she needs to feel the blood leaving the uterus?
He's not saying that. No, he said Bashaw. Okay, Bashaw. We're going to see one of the Achronim, the Behuda, writes that you have to feel a liquidy, like, you know, like there's something passing through. He's not, I don't think he is saying that. He's saying Shem Targish Bashaw Shadam Yotze Bashaw, as opposed to other physical manifestations where there's no Dam. Okay, I believe the Ramban is saying like the.
That seems to be a bit of a different question. If she has a
Hargosha,
and then 5 hours later, she's...
Right, okay. No, but... Okay, but... Okay, you're right. But, I mean, I think that's what he's saying. I mean, Shatagish Bishosh, Shadam Yot. I think that's the emphasis, in my opinion. Okay? But anyway, but that's... I think the Rambam lines up with the Shmuzadeshim, with Tosis, and Afkadal, and so on. The Rambam does. The Rambam is talking is Daza. Okay, the truth of the matter is, there is a Gemara in earlier in the Masechta, okay, 19, and the Gemara says, where is it now? Here it is, 19 here. Gimel and Al, Agav Tzara Misara. The woman was sleeping. She can get her period when she's sleeping, and that'll wake her up because there's some sort of Tzara. Again, physical manifestation. Tosus and Ksubas. Samak Gimel and Al, Dimel Asher El Aman Damar, says, Mishum Distam Nidos Cholos Ktsas. The woman, she's a Nida, is a little bit sick. Okay, a little bit sick. Again, there's some kind of physical thing going on, okay? There's some kind of physical thing going on. So obviously there are physical sensations beyond, what I'm trying to say here, is beyond what you feel inside. You take a look at the Maram Shik, okay? The Maram Shik, and the Maram Shik was one of the important Talmidim, or probably the prime Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. Maram Shik, his last name Shik, stands for Shem Yisrael Kodesh. He was living at a time where, at least not part of Hungary, I guess, they made everyone take last names. So he said a Jew's last name is, Jews should be known by his name. So he took the name that Shem Yisrael Kodesh. That's why he took the name Shik. Okay, so anyway, there's a whole tshuva where you're allowed to use English. I mean, it's not English, but is a Jew allowed to use non-Jewish names? You know, the famous tshuva about that. Can you put it on this on a tzeva? And should you even have? Should we give our kids English names? Shik was opposed to it. And even he was lived, you know, he's practiced what he preached, because even when they had to take last names, okay, so he took a name that was a Jewish name, Shik, Shem Yisrael Kodesh. Anyway, so Ram Shik, this is Tshuvas Chelek Eredeya, Simon Kuf Pei Beis, okay. Afilo Mashishkimo Achon, the Dafke Psichas Piyamok, or Nikar Gosha, Zevada lav dafka. It's not just psichas pi amokar. El kol shen is dazu evareha. Okay, that's what he says. The Ramshik has a lotion. Is dazu evareha. You see that? Okay, her body, her limbs, it shakes. She trembles. Okay, and when a woman is in nida, she often has a headache. You know, she feels heavy, and other things that he mentions here, right? Near the word din shar shinoi. All right, at the end he writes she has a choli ke'evim. A lot of times when we get their period, they get a headache, they feel a little heavy, okay, in addition to various other things, okay? So the truth of the matter is, Rashi in Chumash says this, okay? Rashi in Chumash, take a look in source 22. Rashi in Chumash says, so he says these types of feelings, you know, are Gasha, yeah. That's what he's saying, okay? That's the... Well, I think he's saying it has to be, you know, at the time. We have to go back to Ramban, I would think. That means when the Dam comes out. Okay, when the Dam comes out. But maybe not. Maybe he's saying that in Echonami. And if any of these physical symptoms that come before the Dam leaves would possibly call it Hargosha.
Maybe. Cramps start before she gets, yeah, gets, yeah, a period. But they don't stop before she gets a period also.
Right. It's ongoing, yeah. Well, take a look. Look at the Rashi. We'll finish with this today. The 22. Rashi says, "Dimei nidas devosa perikin beis posik beis vayikra tazria." Loshon dava hazav migufa loshon achar loshon madve mecholi. Sometimes a dava bin yosa or kimei nidas devosa titmosa madve. That root is also root mecholi. Madve mecholi. Right. Okay. So he says, "Loshon madve mecholi." She ain isha ro adam shelo tchila rosha ve'evereha. Kavedin allow. Okay? She has some kind of soreness, some sort of cramps, and so on. All right? The pashtus is, okay, the Maram Shik is not lalacha. Because according to Maram Shik, or you said maybe it's right, according to Maram Shik, the pashtus is that these physical symptoms already count as argosha. All right? I mean, the Rambam. The Rambam was talking about physical symptoms. You know, he's saying these are physical symptoms that come before the Riyaz Dam. All right, that's already called the Hargosha. Not like the Ramban that we saw before, B'shoa Shadam Yotzev Sara. I don't think most agree with the Ram Shik. I think most people assume that cramps and all these things are not Hargosha. The Ram Shik, in this sense, perhaps is taken a little further. It's not just, you know, the headache or the heavy, you know, pains or whatever it is, that accompany when the dam, like you said, a lot of these things start before and then it continue when the actual dam comes out. So once the dam comes out, then that would be considered argosha. But beforehand, Ram Shik implies even beforehand. I'm saying it. Okay, Ram Shik seems to say, in other words, I think he's learning it in the Rambam. I don't think you have to say that to the Rambam meant. The Rambam spoke, huh? The Rambam spoke in his Daza Gufa. Right, Nizdaz Agufa. I don't think the Rama meant the Nizdaz Agufa from before. Ram Shik seems to learn the Rama that way, that even before the Dam comes out. I don't know that's a pashas in the Rama. Okay, but
you can still say like the cramps from before are not an Aragosha, but the cramps that she gets.
Yes, and that I think I would agree. Right. But I think Ram Shik seems to be saying even before. Okay, Ram Shik seems to say even before. Right. Again, and Rashi Chumash also said that Rashi is not defining Hargosha. Rashi Chumash says, "Ain isha rodam shelo tchila rosha ve'egorek kredin olel." But I don't know if Rashi would call that Hargosha. It seems like Rashi is. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, so far we had two definitions of what's meant by Hargosha. Okay, what's meant by Hargosha? Either it's psychos, sensation of psychos piyam okar, not literally physically something's opening up, but there's some sort of sensation that the uterus is opening up. Dam is coming out, or Nizdaz Agufa. All right. The third approach, we'll start with.
Maybe the Rambam only holds of this, you know, dramatic
physical.
But Ram Shik has even more subtle symptoms.
Well, I think the Rambam is saying that, again, the first approach is that the sensation is something inside, right? The Sikha's Piyam is something if she senses inside. The Rambam is Nizdaz Agufa is something that's perceptible. Outside, it's not part of the body necessarily. The whole body kind of trembles or shakes, or and Ram Shik certainly he was talking about headaches and you know other things like that. So yeah, okay, it's a more expansive definition. Okay, there is one other approach And we'll get to, we're going to do it tomorrow. The Rebbe Huda in the Tshuva speaks about what we call Ziva's Dabar Lach, where she actually feels something inside. You can feel, like, again, if you picture ourselves, we have to go urinate. You can feel the movement of fluid, you know, in the body. So that's what the Rebbe Huda seems to hold. All right, so we'll have, let's say there's three different definitions of Gosh. We'll also have to talk about what if there's the toots done that I'll have to get to later in the week. What if there's, or everything after this Rosh Hashanah, but what if there's hargosha without any dam? What does that mean? Or vice versa, what if there's dam without hargosha? So we'll try and talk about both those sides. But again, I'm just giving this as for the first sif, says Rehusha Hergisha, so it's not so poshut to define what Hergisha is. Okay, I just want to mention one thing, and then we'll stop over here, just to understand. You'll find that once you look, and that's why I give you the sheets, and then I'll for a couple of minutes. Anyone else want a hard copy? No, used to it. You want a hard copy. Okay, so you also want a hard copy. Okay, so I'll make three. All right, I have one in my desk, though. But just understand, once you see how the Rishonim approach it, then when you read the Shulchan Aruch inside and the Shachna Tan on the page, you know, inside, it's much easier to understand it. You've seen the background, and that's why I spent time on it. Because then, once you've seen it, you know, you see what the Rishonim say. So these posts on the page are really just telling you, you know, they're collecting the Rishonim. Once you see it, of course, the Beis Yosef quotes everything, but you know, I'm presenting it this way because it'll be easier when you read the Shulchan Aruch inside. Okay, all right, we'll stop over here, and yeah, that's what.
Ready.